Everybody, I'm going to present at least some parts from my paper Bayesian learning shutdown and convergence. As far as I know, I've sent one paper to Rostislav, so it should not, you can also read it if you like. So what are the main topics of this paper? It's quite a theoretical paper, and it's some version of a paper of June and Vives, of the June and Vives 1996 paper, where the authors have shown that repeated market interaction results under fairly mild conditions to convergence. Convergence in the terms of June and Vives means that you have agents performing Bayesian learning, and even these agents, the uninformed agents, learn the state of the economy, and the agents or the quantities bought and sold by these agents converge to quantities bought and sold by fully informed agents. What I'm going to tell you in the next 30 to 60 minutes is the following. If in the model considered in June and Vives, everything is, the only stochastic noise term is Gaussian, and the model structure is affine. So we have an affine Gaussian setting, and in this simple setting, everything works through. What I'm going to do is I try to make the model in some kind more realistic, and I will assume that the quantities only live on the non-negative real axis. In the original paper's quantities live on the real axis. I include this simple modification, and by standard calculus we will see that if firms are equipped with a shutdown option, some limited informed firms will exit the market, or the limited informed firms will exit the market, and a convergence result, like in the basic paper of June and Vives, breaks down immediately. So by a simple modification of the model, we have a non-complicated modification of the model, we will see that the convergence result obtained by June and Vives breaks down immediately. To save the results of the original paper, I considered also innovations on bounded support. And what I'm going to show, under generic conditions, bounded support is not sufficient for convergence. Additional regularity conditions are necessary. A further topic is deviations from the Gaussian. So the point is, does Bayesian learning result, or can we obtain learning with a Bayesian learning scheme, which means in terms of Bayesian statistics, whether the Bayes estimate is consistent or not. And I will present some, maybe at least one very stylized example, where we see that not every Bayes estimate has to be consistent. In Bayesian statistics, this is well known, but if we jump back to simple Gaussian settings, so everything works through, we will see that a deviation from the Gaussian setting can result in inconsistent estimates, so learning need not take place. So once again, here the outline. So I want in the first step make the model. In the first step, I will present the model, then I'll try to make the model more realistic, and here we will see that the convergence results of the initial paper break down. Then I briefly document or discuss the problem, what happens if we deviate from the normal distribution. This is mainly discussed in the paper. Here in the presentation, I won't spend so much time on this problem, since under general conditions, we can show that Bayesian learning need not be consistent. So the literature, there's a bulk of literature, I don't go through it, in Bayesian statistics. In Bayesian statistics, the main problem is to show that the Bayes estimator is consistent. While here, in my paper, it was necessary to present some results where the Bayes estimate is not consistent. Okay, but here is a bulk of literature, almost all from Bayesian statistics. In economics, the papers considering non-Gaussian learning is relatively small. There are two papers by Larry Bloom and David Easley from the 90s, and also some other papers from the 90s, but especially deviations from the Gaussian distribution are hardly observed in economics literature. Then, there are also other ways to break down learning. For instance, with herding models. So with herding models, learning need not be the case. Another way or another approach where learning need not take place is the adaptive stability literature. For instance, with adaptive stability, mainly going back to a series of paper by Gustav Rie, the adaptive stability literature is some game theoretic literature which investigates whether some rational expectation solutions can be supported by game theoretic reasoning. And here you can show that not every rational expectation solution has to be or can be supported by game theoretic reasoning. In my paper, I don't follow these approaches. I include a simple non-negativity constraint, and we will see that also in this case, learning and convergence results breakdown. So in the first step, I will present the model which goes mainly back to June and Vives, and June and Vives also go partially back to Youth 1961. So what we are going to do, we consider a linear partial equilibrium model. We will have a continuum of firms. So we will consider a continuum of price takers. So by this assumption, almost all game or almost all game theoretic aspects are wiped out. So we have price takers. We will have a model in discrete time. Economic activity starts at small t equal to 1, and small t can also go to infinity. So we will also look at the asymptotics of this model. And firms are homogeneous, and firms produce a homogeneous product. Okay? And firms will be risk neutral and equipped with a quadratic cost structure. So everything is quite simple here. Demand is described by equation 1, where the price at period t is set t minus beta xt for all periods of time larger than 1. Beta is a coefficient larger than 0, xt is the aggregate quantity produced, and Ct is a stochastic demand intercept. So the only random variable in the model is Ct. And Ct is, or Zt follows the following process. So we define fractional differences, delta zeta of Ct, which is Ct minus 1 minus zeta Ct minus 1. Okay, so we have these fractional differences here. I've defined here, and we assume that fractional differences follow the following stochastic process. They are given by 1 minus theta times theta plus eta t. Theta and theta are real numbers. Okay, stationarity of the process is not assumed. It can be, but it need not be the case. By a simple transformation, so by defining ut equal to ct minus theta, we can write ct as a process like this. So we can write ct as theta plus a moving average term of the innovations, plus some u0, which is the starting value. The starting value is fixed to 0 in my paper and also in the paper of of June and Venus. Okay, but C0 is unknown. Okay. Now, let me describe the firms. We consider a continuum of firms. All of them are homogeneous and they are price takers. We confirm three from the unit interval. The unit interval is equipped with the Lebesgue measure, so everything's straightforward. And firms, each firm I is equipped with a quadratic cost structure. So the cost of producing xi units is one half times lambda, lambda is a parameter larger than zero, times xi squared. Okay, then to investigate convergence, we have the following, or we distinguish the following two settings. The first is the full information setting. With the full information setting, the firms know the past prices, they know the parameters lambda, beta, theta, and sigma eta squared. Sigma eta squared is the variance of innovation. In the baseline setting, eta follows a normal distribution with mean zero and variance sigma eta squared. Okay, I abbreviate, you also know that mu zero is zero, and we abbreviate, or I abbreviate, the information of the full infirmed agents by calligraphic IFIT. FIT, or calligraphic IFIT, is the information available at period T for the fully infirmed agent. Okay? Of course, at period T, PT is not available. PT realizes after the production decision in this setting. The second kind of information we are going to investigate is limited informed information or limited informed agents. In this setting, firms know the parameters and the past prices, but in the difference between the fully informed agents and the limited informed agents is the following. The fully informed agents know the mean of the demand intercept, theta, while the limited informed firms do not know theta. The limited informed firms only know the structure of the demand. So the limited informed firms know that this equation holds, they know the variance of theta t, but they don't know the parameter theta. So they have to estimate this parameter theta. Okay, so this is the difference between full information and limited information. Okay? So Vives called this learning in equilibrium. Why learning in equilibrium? Since in this setting, the agents know the true model structure. So if you jump back, or so if you,
because I can see two thetas on the right side.
Yes, this follows only from the definition of UT. But if you go to the first term, UT is some autoregressive innovation term. What will be important for the output decision will be an estimate of CT. Okay? And the fully informed agents know this parameter and can use this parameter automatically to estimate CT. While the limited informed agents have to estimate this parameter. This is the difference.
Yeah, and how is it built into the process? On the right side, I can see it twice. The theta is it correct that it's two theta plus something which doesn't depend on theta?
The very last
The very last term, this is only a plug-in from the definition to see that this U0, simply splits up into theta minus C0 from the definition of U. Okay?
So the other brackets inside need to sum or
no? No. And theta. In the point is that the process is generated by fixed number theta in the background. Yeah? It's C0 minus theta, yes. This is a type of thing. Yeah. It's U0, it should be C0 minus theta. This is a type. Okay. If you plug in, what you can do, you can use this definition, then you plug it in, and then you get exactly this representation. Okay. So this is.
I'm probably too tired on the very right side. If you change the signs in the bracket, so then you have 2 thetas, and they sum up to 0. So
no, the point is forget the last term. This term is set to 0.
It's 0.
This is 0. By assumption. Okay? So if you start the process at a different U0, then it looks like this. Okay? But in the current paper, this U0, as far as I remember, U0 is set.
So it's only a little constant.
Yep.
Yes, they are not sure about. They don't know the little constant.
The fully informed agents know this constant theta,
while the
limited informed agents don't.
It's only the level.
It's the level of the demand. Okay? It's the level of the demand. I added this extra term to see how this definition works here, but this is not important here.
Yeah, it's just to see what the difference is between the two cases.
This is a plug-in from the definition. Oops. Where was it? This granted here, this is a plug-in from the definitions, while in the paper, in my paper and in June Weaver's, this last term is set to 0. Okay. The important thing is, I think the economically important thing comes here, that some agents know this theta and others don't. Okay, so the point is, or let me jump back to the firms. Firms maximize profits, so they maximize the discounted sum of profits. This sum has a general, or need to be finite in general, but by the simple model structure, the optimization problem splits up into a series of one-period optimization problems. So, if firms maximize profits, they see the following. We have a first order condition, which looks like this. Okay, so the first order condition is that the expected price, or the conditional expected price, minus lambda times xit is equal to 0. Lambda is the parameter of the cost function, not any Lagrange multiplier. Okay, so this is a fixed parameter, which is common knowledge. Okay, so the firm's output decision in the baseline model, xit is the conditional expectation of the price over lambda. Since firms are homogeneous and we have a continuum of firms, if you integrate over that term, you get once again that term. So xit is equal to xt. This follows simply by integrating, integrating over xid, the unit interval with the Lebesgue measure resides in xd equal to the conditional expectation over lambda. This is then aggregate or average supply. Okay. So what's the timing in the model? In period t, firms have to decide on their production, So they decide on XIP based on their current information set. Then, based on this output decision, we get aggregate supply by integrating over individual supplies. And immediately after the firms have decided on the amount they produce, the price realizes. So immediately after the output decision at period T, the random variable eta T realizes, and then you get the price PT. Okay, so first, so the timing in the model is the following. We have discrete time, but at T minus, firms decide on their product, on the amount they produce, and then at period T, CT realizes, and based on CT, the price PT realizes. Okay. So firms have to, from the first order condition, firms have to predict the price in period T. This is important. Based on their information. Okay. Then given the structure of CT, and the demand function, we have the following thing, that to predict the price CT, we have to predict CT. Okay? And the conditional expectation of CT plus K based on our model and based on the assumption that U0 is 0 is 1 minus theta times the conditional expectation of theta times the sum and these other terms. Okay? The difference between full information and limited information comes here. For the full information, for the fully informed firms, theta is known, and this conditional expectation is simply theta, while for the limited informed firms, this is an estimator of theta. Okay? So for the fully informed firms, the conditional expectation of CT is simply 1 minus theta times plus theta times theta. So this is the conditional expectation of CT based on the information of the fully informed agent. Okay? For the fully informed agent, CT is known. Okay? Since by the definition, CT is theta plus UT. Since we know theta, we can calculate CT. Okay? So CT minus 1 is known for the fully informed agent. So if we plug in this predictor, so this forecast, into the first order condition for the fully informed firms, we get the quantities in the full information economy. And the quantities in the full information economy are given by that term. So the quantities in the full information economy are non-constant. So they are still stochastic, but they are given by theta plus theta times ut minus 1 over lambda plus beta. So these are the quantities in the full information economy. In the limited information economy, agents or firms apply the Bayes theorem, or especially the Bayes theorem for a Gaussian random variable, to estimate the parameter C. Okay? For instance, if you... Okay, so if, for instance, if you look at this equation, this is simply or corresponds to simply corresponds to estimating the mean of CT with autoregressive innovations. And for this, for such a process, we immediately get the Bayes estimator. This is from, you find it in a lot of textbooks, so the Bayes estimator. So in this case, the posterior, so if we start, so if our innovation CT follow the process assumed on the former slides, and if firms use a normal prior on the parameter theta, so agents use a normal prior with mean parameter theta 0 and variance parameter C to 0 squared. If this is the case, then the posterior distribution of theta is once again a normal distribution with parameters small at and capital AT. And small at is given by the first expression, and capital AT is given in the second term. Okay? It's not completely equal, but this term is something like the sample mean of the fractional differences adjusted by some prior parameters. So what we find here is nothing difficult. Okay? So, yes?
I don't understand one thing here, but we have limited information for.
Yes? No, in this the setting is very simple. There are no strategic effects. We have in case one, we have only fully informed firms. Case B, we have only limited informed firms. Okay, there's no mixture between limited and fully informed.
Okay.
This is not considered.
But if there are only limited informed firms, then basically the price that will prevail in the market doesn't depend really on the true value, but on the
estimate. The price depends only on the estimate. This is correct.
But if all firms are
there are also other models where you mix between some percentage or some proportion of the population which are limited informed, and the other proportion is uninformed. This is not the case. So Grossmann's digits or some Grossmann's digits versions where this is the case. But this is not the case here. Here we consider two different economies, one economy with fully informed agents and one economy with limited agents. And there's nothing in between, and we compare the results of economy A to economy B. So what is the conditional expectation of theta in with the limited informed firms? It's AT minus 1. Why AT minus 1? I've written down AT in such a way that CT is available at period TCT, or delta CT is not available. So this term is not available at period for T, for the index T. It's only available for the index T minus 1. Therefore, we have in period T, the limited informed firms have to calculate this term only with delta C to C S until T minus 1, and therefore the predictor, so the predictor or the conditional expectation of the variable or of the parameter theta T for the limited informed firms is A T minus 1. Okay, and based on this predictor, they plug in, get an estimate of CT, and then they get the variable XT. Okay, in the paper, I described in more detail how I derived this result. So what can be shown based on these two results, or based on these two different economies? I have a result which is very, very close to Chun and Diaz. So if the stochastic process is stationary, so if the absolute value of theta is smaller than 1, in this case, the conditional expectation of theta of the limited informed firm, so this AT converges to the true parameter theta, and in addition, the limited informed quantities XT converge to the fully informed. Okay, so this result holds. So if there's a sufficient amount of time, then both quantities agree. Figures on this result come later. If theta, which is the autoregressive term in the innovations, is equal to 1, so in this case, the innovations follow a limit root process. In this case, the limited informed agents cannot estimate this parameter. This parameter theta is not identified. Okay, so here you have a regression model which is not identified. So in this case, agents cannot estimate the parameter theta. So the limited informed firms are not able to learn. But in terms of convergence, this does not play any role. Since at least for periods larger than 2, we can show that both quantities, the fully informed and the limited informed quantities, agree. Not in the limit, but at least for t larger or equal to 2. At period 1, it could be different, but for periods larger than 2, both quantities agree. Last but not least, if the innovations follow an explosive process, so if theta is larger than 1, or in general, I only have to exclude that theta is equal to 1, since the result 3 also holds for theta smaller than 1. In this case, the base estimate converges to theta, so we have a consistent base estimate, and in addition, the quantities converge not in levels like in case 1, but in fractional differences. And we get mean squared, we get convergence, L2 convergence, and we have almost sure convergence. So both results hold here as in scenario 1. Now, a simple but maybe the main result of my paper. In the standard model, everything lives on the real line, prices and quantities. We have innovations on the real line, we have a linear structure, therefore everything lives on the real line. Okay? In the following step, I want to make the model more realistic. I allow for positive and negative prices. So I want to stay as close as possible to the baseline setting, but I demand for non-negative quantities. Okay? And assumption 2 is that I allow that quantities are set to 0. So firms are permitted to shut down if they find it necessary. Last but not least, to simplify the analysis, I only focus on the stationary case. Otherwise, writing down the following results is a little bit tricky. Okay. So you get once again the same first order condition, or approximately the same first order condition. Since in this case now it's a conductor condition, since you have this non-negativity constraint on the quantities, and based on this conductor condition you get the following result. You have 4 different scenarios. So if assumptions 1 to 3 hold, the following things can happen. The conditional expectation of theta is larger than 0, and the conditional expectation of Ct is larger than 0. Then, in period t, the forecasts are larger than 0 by the model structure, and in period t, firms produce an output larger than 0. Okay, and the plan to produce also for the next period. Then, opportunity 2 is the following. If theta is larger than 0, if the conditional expectation of theta is larger than 0, and if the conditional expectation of Ct is smaller than 0, then, based on the model structure, the conditional expectation of Ct is larger than 0. So, in this case, the conditional expectation of Ct becomes larger than 0 for some k larger than 1. So in this scenario, firms do not produce in period T, but they plan to enter in period T plus. Scenario 3 or C3 is the following. We have once again conditions on the conditional expectation. In this case, firms produce in the current period, but they plan to exit after K periods. While the interesting part is, or the interesting point is C4, if the conditional expectation of theta is smaller than zero, and if the conditional expectation of CT is smaller than zero, then the conditional expectation of theta is smaller than zero, then the conditional expectation of CT plus K is smaller than zero, and if this is the case, the limit defers, stop production at the exit, and they don't enter into the market since they don't receive any further signal. They only receive information in this model if they produce. Based on this fourth point, C4, we get the following corollary. So, well, what we can do is, we can assume that, well, the interesting case is the following. Suppose that theta is larger than zero, but suppose that the conditional expectation of the limited informed firms is smaller than zero, and the conditional expectation of the limited informed firms is smaller than zero as well. You can easily construct examples like this. Then, in this scenario, the limited informed firms exit and they don't enter, while with the fully informed firms, if theta is larger than zero, only two opportunities are possible: production or entering into the market after K periods. So in this easy setting, we see that if we augment the model by non-negative quantities, we immediately see that this convergence result obtained in the baseline model breaks down very easily. Okay? So we always find a shock in the economy which is strong enough such that the above condition holds, and in this kind, and if this is the case, then firms, limited informed firms, exit, and we do not observe convergence like in the baseline setting. So here are some, here's a graphic illustration what I told in the theorems. Here in the first figure, so in the figure to the left, I have, it's quite small, so on the vertical axis I have quantities, and on the horizontal axis I have time. And here you see in the base, I have included by brute force a shock in period 4. So all forecasts go rapidly downwards in period 5. And in the baseline setting, based on these negative forecasts, agents produce negative quantities and nothing. The red, I don't remember, either the red line or the blue line is limited information, but this does not matter here. But the red and the blue line agree, and after after more periods of time, you won't see any difference between the red and the blue line. Here the blue line should be the limit information. Here the blue line represents the estimate of the unknown parameter theta. So theta is equal to 1. So for the fully informed agents, we would have a horizontal red line. I don't plot it. While the estimates of theta with the limited informed firms look like this. This happens in the baseline model, while here is the baseline setting with more periods. What I had before in the last slide is simply zooming to the first 20 periods to see more. So here with 1,000 periods, you have here to the very left this large shock at the beginning, but then you won't observe any larger differences between the red and the blue curve. Here is the same thing with the same noise process for the for the economy were shut down is possible. Here, there's the shock in period four. Forecasts go down. So the blue forecast is the forecast of theta of the limited informed firms, and the red line is the here the red line in this figure is the forecast of CT for the limited informed firms. So what you see is for the limited informed firms, both forecasts remain negative. And for periods larger or equal to 5, production is 0. So there is no further production. While with the fully informed firms, here we are in the scenarios, I called it C2, they don't produce in period 5, and they don't produce in period 6 and 7, but in period 8, they enter into the market once again, and there and further on, they produce. But the important point is, here, you won't observe any convergence. And by this simple shock in period 4, convergence breaks down. Okay? So this does not, or this result does not imply that all paths are not convergent. But the point is, there still exists some paths with positive probability where the convergence result of the baseline setting breaks down. Okay, now I proceed with limited, with bounded support. Okay, so what we have seen is with the normal distribution, there are some awful or large shocks which do the following: expectations go below zero and the limited informed firms X. To save the model, or one way to save this base, the results of the baseline model is by bounded support. But what I show is that even with bounded support, we have to take care. And we construct the support of the noise term as follows. We only assume that theta is larger than zero, since the smaller than zero cases are more interesting for the economic discussion here. If theta is smaller than zero, then also the fully informed firms do not produce. And we assume that the noise term eta t is centered around zero and the starting value c zero f theta. Then this is done to reduce some computational burden. This is not so interesting here. So what I did is I based on the properties of the stochastic process, I calculated upper and lower bounds for the process CT, and based on these upper and lower bounds, I get the following result. So we assume that assumptions 1 to 4 are fulfilled, assumptions 1 to 3 were non-negative quantities, shutdown and theta is smaller than zero in absolute terms, assumption 4 is bounded support, and assume that eta t is a proper subset of the set minus 1 minus theta theta and so on. So if this is the case, then ct lives on the non-negative real line. So this is the first part of the result. If in addition firms are equipped with a Bayesian upstating scheme such that the conditional expectation of theta goes to theta, and in addition this conditional expectation remains in the upper and lower bounds, in this case, if this three condition holds, then the convergence result obtained in the baseline model still continue to hold. Okay?
So this bounded support is only the assumption about that this shock is bounded.
Yes.
And why we are doing this assumption?
that the point where my motivation was I want to save them. Okay,
but
so
this assumption is not realistic.
Yes, this is it need not be realistic, but the point is how to it could be one opportunity to save them. I want to have a model where all paths are convergent. Okay? Even if you this model is very stylized. I think the whole model is not stylized. But the point is here what I want to show is that even if I force the noise curve to be within this interval, automatically we cannot conclude that we get this convergence. In addition, there are some regularity conditions on the Bayesian updating scheme have to be fulfilled. Okay? This is my point here. Okay? The point I want to make here is not that I want to I don't have the intention to make the model more realistic, but here with the bounded support, I want to save the convergence result. And the point here is that I can save it, but bounded support of the noise is not sufficient. I need these conditions on Bayesian. Otherwise, I have some also maybe examples come on the next slide, but I have some more or less realistic examples which show that these assumptions are necessary. Okay, so I have some remark on positive prices with bounded support. I can make prices positive. This is not so interesting here. And there are also other opportunities to force prices and what quantities to the non-negative real lines. So for instance, Adam and Marcet work with log returns. Vives proposes some model with isoelastic, with an isoelastic inverse demand structure, so we take the exponential, and in this case, some variables also live on the non-negative real line. Okay, so the opportunity I have chosen is not the only one, but it is a simple one, and it shows that in addition to bounded support of the innovation curve, we also need regularity conditions on the Bayesian updating scheme. Okay? To show that regularity conditions on the Bayesian updating scheme are necessary, I have three quite simple or not so simple examples. So I assume that the parameter theta is larger than zero, and I construct an asymmetric truncated normal distribution. Okay? So I have a asymmetric truncated normal distribution with a lower bound epsilon lower bound and an upper bound epsilon upper bound. Okay? The mean parameter should be mu and the variance parameter should be sigma squared or sigma squared tn. Okay? Since the distribution is not symmetric, mu is not equal. And in addition, to keep things simple, I assume that this autoregressive parameter of the noise theta is equal to zero. So in this case, it is sufficient that the expectation of CT is smaller than zero for exit. Okay. So at the starting point, or in this example, I choose a parameter U such that the conditional expectation of CT is equal to theta, and this conditional this expectation is larger than zero. Okay, so firms produce at the beginning. And then we draw random variables, and suppose that the following thing happens. Suppose that we have a realization of CT which is positive but quite small. So we can show that the following thing can happen. We can construct once again a base estimator which is not the same but quite equal to the base estimator we had before. And There exists a CT which is larger than zero but small enough such that the conditional expectation of CT becomes smaller than zero. Okay, this can be done. Okay, it's a little bit tricky, but you can construct a truncated normal where we produce at the first period, but where we exit at the second period. Okay, CT, the innovation term, lives on the non-negative real line. But here, this consistency condition on the base estimate is not met. Okay, why is it, what happens here? Here the bounds are such that, so eta lower by such that it's chosen the wrong way. It must be below, it must be below zero, otherwise this cannot work. But consider an agent who wants to be on the safe side or something like this, then a scenario like this might happen. Okay? You can also argue inconsistent bounds with a truncated normal is nonsense. Of course, in this case, we can break any convergence result. Yes?
This epsilon t, it has the same interpretation as
eta t. The point is, here where we are not completely the symmetric case, therefore I use the other symbol. Okay. Then maybe you had a lot of training in economics, so you don't like such inconsistencies like we had before, since the lower data bounds are inconsistent. This is of course a strong assumption that we know the bounds, but in a lot of cases we do it. So here an example two, there's some case in between. We estimate the upper and lower bounds by the base theorem. This cannot be done in closed form, but a base estimator can be constructed. What can be shown if we start with the wrong priors? Which also allow for very small and very large borders of the truncated normal distribution. In this case, we would converge. What can be shown? If all the data, so if an infinitely long path of CT would be observed, then we can consistently estimate the upper and the lower bounds of the truncated normal distribution. But it might happen that we have a negative expected value of CD. So in this case, the limited informed firms leave the market, and no further samples of CD are observed. So in this case, we don't learn, we stop learning, and we exit. While the I eliminate all complications in example three if we know the upper and the lower bounds of the truncated normal distribution, then we consistently estimate the parameters, and in this case, the learning result of the baseline model can be still used. So corollary two, or the convergence result of the baseline setting hold in this example. But in this case, we know the correct bounds of the distribution, we have bounded support, and in this case, the base estimate is consistent. So this example should demonstrate that only bounded support need not be sufficient. So we need a little bit more. Last but not least, once again this remark that there are other ways to get positive prices and quantities. This is not the point. But in general, it is still possible to have Bayesian learning which is not consistent. Okay? So So with the normal distribution or with the truncated normal distribution, we can show by hand or somehow else that the base estimate is consistent. There's a lot of literature on the consistency of the base estimate. But there are also counterexamples where the base estimate need not be consistent. It depends on the distribution and on the prior smears. Maybe a very stylized example is the following. It's also not realistic, but it is an example how to break the consistency of the bases. It's a simple example. It's a little bit strange since we consider non-consistency on a set of measure zero, but it's an example where we can break the consistency of the sites, or where we can break down the value. So, what I do is the following. I consider the assumptions of example 3. But what I change is the following. I assume that with each parameter, so the parameter theta, so if I consider the parameter theta, and if this parameter theta is an irrational number, then I assume that the noise follows theta or epsilon, I don't care, follows a truncated normal distribution. Why? For irrational theta, theta follows a truncated normal distribution. Why? Either T follows an asymmetric truncated normal distribution, so which is a tilted or some shifted truncated normal, if nu is a rational number. So I do the following. If nu is irrational, then we have the truncated normal, and it's asymmetric truncated normal if nu is a rational number. Okay. So, if this is the case, the base estimate is still the base estimate of example 3. But with any new, which is a rational number, the base estimate is not consistent. Okay, so we have maybe a very realistic, but we have an example where we can break down the convergence result. An estimator is called consistent if it converges not for almost all, but for all elements of the parameter space. Okay? So here we have convergence for almost all elements of the parameter space, but not for all elements. So it's not consistent as we define consistency in statistical terms. So if nu is a rational number, we don't get consistent estimates. This inconsistency happens on a set which is small in a measure theoretic sense. Since this happens on a set of prior probabilities zero. While you can also consider this set of rational numbers in a topological sense, and in a topological sense, the rationals are not small in a topological sense. Okay, so if you want to work with these bare categories, inconsistency need not, or inconsistency appears on a set which is not topological, but it's small in a measure theoretic sense. Okay, so this is the last example that we said. The last example is an example for the following scenario, everything seems to be fine. The estimates are within a bounded interval. The innovations are within a bounded interval, but the base estimate is still not consistent. Okay? And this is shown in this last example. So here we have a very, not maybe, not need not be realistic, but here we have an example where the base estimate is not consistent. Okay? So in this case, learning would not appear. So what I have shown in the last, I'm not complete that time, but I need 45 to 60 minutes. So I sum up, it's time to compute. So the main result is, by a single variation of the model, we see that we can break down the learning and the convergence result we obtained in the baseline setting. This is the first bullet point. Then, and also the second bullet point, that learning need not be obtained. Or what we have seen at the end is that learning need not be obtained with arbitrary distributions and prior assumptions. So if we deviate from the normal distribution, learning can, but automatically it need not be the case. And once again, the main result that with the non-negative quantities and the Shatter option, the baseline convergence result breaks down. And last but not least, we can try to save the model by means of bounded support, but even in the case of bounded support, some regularity conditions on the learning scheme are necessary to save the convergence and learning results